of the February 22nd City of Sherwood City Council meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Dan Woodruff, President.
Dolly Adams, President.
Mayor Victor, President.
Jerry Washington, President. Please stand and join me in the... We'll forego that. Okay. Well, we did it every other time. Okay. All right, at 3.1, citizens' comment. For those of you, like I see different new faces, those of you, if you have a comment to make on an agenda item, you should save your comment until the agenda item comes up. We'll have access to public comments there. If you want to make a public comment to the council on something that's not on the agenda, this would be the appropriate time for yourself, up to 5 minutes of comment. Please start with your name and address, please. Anita, oh, I'm sorry, did you raise your hand?
You're just quicker than that was. Anita Willis, 1009 Forest Avenue. February the 2nd was the Citizens Advisory Council meeting that we had over at the Dupont Recreational Center. And it was very interesting that we had a chance as the citizens, the shorters, and we do have another person down here that definitely wants to attend our meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, this particular meeting was about safety, and they had a questionnaire that I found interesting, and several of the questions interfacing with the plan as a citizen, we answered some of these questions, and one of them was, what makes a recordable injury or an illness severe in your plan? Come to find out, anything is considered. They look at not necessarily a paper cut, unless you're, you can't recover from a paper cut, but they take every injury seriously out there. So they're heading in the right direction. One of the things that we did cover was the aging of plant employees and the culture change that's going on. And so the aging generation in the chemical plant are being retired through either attrition or layback. And with new culture, they're getting with the terminology, it smells like money, it is a chemical smell inside the plant. And the culture changes, and go out and find out what it is. So they're heading in the right direction. They're the older as well, it smells like money, so don't worry about it. So there is a culture change that's going on. Just wanted to let you know.
Interesting. Thank you for your CAC report.
You're very welcome.
Any other citizens' comments? Yes, sir. Name and address.
My name is David Drain, 3316 Miramar. I just had a question as to drainage ditches on Miramar. And where we stand with that, since a great deal of the ditches around the city have been done, not the ones down here. Not the park, but the homeowners.
Hey, the homeowners, let me turn to your report, or...
Yeah, we'll be touching on drainage of this whole.
Okay.
And I can expand to cover Miramar.
Sure.
Okay.
Hi, Darlene.
So Dr. talked to the female doctor about that, and she got back with me. But I really do feel that there needs to be a time limit put on the timeline. You can't have it under 3 years. I've got two on paper that's been there for quite a while. One is public school. Can't get anything else in there. It's where it needs to be done, but they're not working on it now, so I don't know about that. That was my one concern, that, I mean, with all the money that we're getting, it's gonna come to all the money for critters. And I just feel like we need to have some type of timeline on the dumpsters, because they'll allow you to have them. They charge you for when you dump them. And then the other thing, I'm not sure, I'll let Debbie around this, but I really think that our website is moving on board that we talk about, you know, needs to be elaborated a little bit more, because some of the things that go up here, I don't feel is too cautious. And it reflects good on our community. Especially when you're talking about food use. You don't want to burn bridges. Yeah. An angel tour, so they can make that an eye.
Thank you, darling. Anybody else? Okay. Moving on to council reports. I'm sorry, minutes. I don't know how that happened.
I don't either.
Excuse me. We have some minutes to approve. From the January 19th.
Motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor say aye. All opposed. Council reports, 5.1111. I guess the report of a donation of prompters, Jason Leopard has generously donated, although didn't donate the moving cost, but at least donated the trees. So we will have, looks like three palm trees we'll be able to use on Mirabel Park or wherever else we want. So if you see Jason, tell him thank you for that. Had a meeting last week with the managing director of LBC, which is the tank farm to our south. Just kind of an information meeting. They're looking at expanding their tank farms on their property on the north end of where they are now. I told them I was very concerned about the site and what it looked like from our side of the street and stuff like that. And so he committed to me. He said, we'll plant us a bunch of trees in there. So just FYI that I am working with him and that he seems agreeable to work with us as this expansion goes. We probably are looking, you know, 5 years down the road, but I do see that it is coming. And then I have been blogging a little bit about the Port of Houston Authority and the sound mitigation that they're coming up with. And every resident in the city of Shrekers and Bay Colony should receive a letter in the very not too distant future. It's supposed to go out today, I think, at the earliest, and probably maybe not. I don't know that it went out today. But announcing that they're going to hold a meeting in March to discuss an offer of sound mitigation to a bunch of people and outlining what the details of that program is. And I really don't have the details of that program with me or really to talk about it yet, but there is something that we all should be looking for in the mail in the not-too-distant future. Hopefully it's going to be of benefit to a lot of people. I don't see it too too deeply beneficial in Shore Acres because it's gonna, only going to go so far, but there will be Shore Acres residents affected. And that's it for me. Darla.
Yeah, I attended our city town hall meeting on February 18th, and there are a couple of interesting things I want to pass along. The new transit circular, the people have been asking about times on it, and there are several stops in the city, but there are no times. So what they want us to do now is just take the nearest stop, which for us I think is 146 and 14, and just add a minute or so onto it. So for now, assume it's going to take 1 minute from there, here, and go from there. He said the ridership has not been bad, so but they're hoping to improve it, and I may have additional information on that. They're going to, Harris County is going to widen, and I think we knew this at some point, Choate Road from Shore Acres from 146 to Bay Area Boulevard, and I think the design will be completed later this year. They're concerned about getting all the people in the city to respond to the census. And David, one of the things I need to talk to you about, they wanted to put in a flyer in the water bill. So I don't know if I would give you that note yet. Or,
they want to do it a month later than we have scheduled for the census, which will go into the water bill.
Okay,
we'll do it. Either way.
Yeah, they said Bayport, that mitigation program is going to be March 10th. Is that the last date you heard? Okay, we'll wait and see what comes out. And also that the county, in conjunction with, I guess, four other counties, is partaking in that feasibility study to look at the at a levy system. That's what everybody is calling the ice dike. But they're really, it's really a surface protection zone study. And that's about it.
Can you run that about the light again?
About which one?
But the traffic lights, did you mention
the widening
another minute or something?
The transit circulator from that, you know, the new little van bus that they put in.
Since I mentioned it, and I thought you said that, are you going to cover the traffic light up here?
I am.
I'm sorry, what?
You know, you're the second citizen today that asked that question to me. There's a transit circular, they're called a circular, that takes, is like a small, it's a one-year project commissioned by the county commission, county court, and there it's a cheap little minibus that goes from LaPorte, actually has three stops in Shore Acres, and goes into as far as Clear Lake, and then there's, when you pick it up over at place in LaPorte, neighborhood centers, that one, it goes either to Pasadena, there's a trip that goes to Pasadena, or a trip that goes all the way to Seabrook. And that into like the medical center on National Road 1 and stuff like that, it comes back this way.
Charlotte
Wells is
setting up a Friday lunchtime run to
bust
out, so
we'll
talk to her and
see,
you know,
we're
going
to
have a good
lunch.
Do we have any of these upstairs? We do, except they don't have Shore Acres in them, but
no, you just see the roofs.
Yeah, we have both.
Okay, David.
All right. I had mentioned previously that we were going to seek some quotes on replacement of the water line that runs between Meadow Lawn and Fairfield, between Byway and Westview. It's only about 450 feet, but there's an extreme number of obstacles as you go behind those nine homes, counting both sides of the block. I've got three different utility companies I'm asking for quotes from. It's not at the level it would require us to go through a bidding process, which would also cost more and slow it down. However, the first quote came in, it was a little higher than I'd like to see. It's about $9,000. So I was hoping to get closer to about $6,000 for that line. We still have two more to come in. Since it's not competitive bidding, we can share details and argue with them and see if we can't get someone to come down to a price that's reasonable for us. So we're not ready to move on that. I'll bring something back to you when we've got a realistic price for it. Highway 146 construction. The growing pains of the construction work has certainly come into full swing. First, I'll address the traffic signal, which really, the traffic signal itself wasn't the problem as much as it was the realignment of the lanes. You may have known that they had moved the lanes further to the north, and where we had two that were going west at the intersection of left turn lane and another lane is straight and right. It's one lane now, and moving that, no one adjusted any of the signal controls or the timing, which required someone to be going in the opposite direction to give you a green light in your direction, which meant now we had cars that were sitting there forever, literally, at a red light. And of course, you can only expect someone to wait at a red light forever for so long. That forever doesn't really go forever. And so they were going on through the intersection, some with greater success than others. We did have an accident occur over the weekend from someone who that signal snafu. We had contacted Techstar on Friday. They said they'd have somebody here this morning. We contacted TxDOT, our lead person for this project. This project said that those signals aren't construction. That's the TxDOT signal maintenance, and it wasn't their problem, and it was being referred to maintenance. And they did, in fact, come out this afternoon, and it took until about 2 o'clock to have the situation rectified. So now what will happen is they did not rehang signals, so you know we have a left turn arrow, both east and west, and a green light for the other lane, which no longer exists. And so what will happen is the green light and the arrow will come on simultaneously in one direction, and then go red and go simultaneously in the other direction, and then we'll go back to 146, which will allow the traffic to move. Won't make any difference if you're going straight, right, or left. You'll get a green light for every direction, and there won't be any oncoming traffic. Hopefully, we have law abiders to get a red light. And I'm sure it won't be the last issue we have with the light. Usually it's caused by an 18-wheeler, but this time it was construction. If they had done that on Monday, we might have got it fixed on a Tuesday, but it was that time. They also contacted the police department about hiring contract officers to assist with construction and traffic control. That's probably a good thing as opposed to leaving it up to construction workers themselves. They want to hire an officer for 3 years to work the section between Shore Acres and 146. So they're looking to have a dedicated person. It likely won't be Shore Acres officer for a significant amount of that time because we have such a small force, but there will be likely a police officer that will assist with traffic as it impacts our vehicles coming and going out of the city. So
you say 3 years?
Yes.
You know the project's supposed to be done too?
Yes. Okay. That's what they said.
Are the barricades still blocking the left shoulder line at the light? We got one lane. But we got a pretty good shoulder there for right, I'm not left, but right turn.
Coming off of 146?
No, coming off Shore Acres Boulevard, making a right turn onto 146.
It is north?
Yeah, north. There was barrels there, so you couldn't get over there to make an illegal right turn.
Yeah.
It's better than running a red light or something that was happening. But that hasn't changed. I guess the brittle are still there.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen is that the pavement there is going to get about as narrow as the lanes are if they work around that. And then they're going to move it temporarily the other direction until they get that built. So I expect it to stay very narrow. You know, at the meeting at the Yacht Club, they had guaranteed us that we'd have two lanes there throughout construction. And TxDOT parlance, two lanes means one lane each direction. So that's what we'll have. You may also recall that their construction for 146, this project, will go from two lanes on Sherrick Boulevard in each direction, or four lanes divided, to two lanes, one lane each direction, back to four lanes, actually five lanes when you get to 146. That there is a piece of, in the middle they got left. And the reason it got left is because that piece of the project was on the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, along with the Choate roadside to expand Sherrick Boulevard. And so that's a different contract, and I think at the time it went on the TIP, the expectation was that would get done long before 146, and now we've got it backwards. And so we're going to have all these lanes feed into just one lane each direction, and then go back to all these lanes for about an eighth of a mile.
Right now, once they rechecked them out and figured out that they did own that little piece, that they were rolling it into this project, I thought that was the afterthought.
The last discussion, I had with the TxDOT engineer was that he conceded that we were right, that all of that was TxDOT right of way and it was their road. And the reason that it wasn't reflected on his drawings is because it was on a TIP project, which wasn't just a TxDOT project, it was a joint TxDOT-Harris County project. So the funding stream was different, and so his project won't have anything to do with it. That'll be a separate project, and it will come after the 146 project.
Does the chief of police here have any jurisdiction to adjust the timing of the lights? So we have in the morning?
No. This morning we sent officers out to manually control the light so that people could get out of Short Acres this morning.
Okay.
But now it's on the timer cycle and it should pick that up.
Okay. Well, I know I sat there for about, I don't know how many minutes, and that was when there's it really messed up.
Yeah.
So is that their purpose of wanting to hire a full-time
No, they pretty much hire officers for all construction sites. They, you know, when you see them working on the freeway, you'll see a pickup truck with flashing lights on it. It's an off-duty officer that's been hired to assist with traffic control construction. And it's not a constant activity. It's to assist with traffic control when they're moving equipment in and out of the work zone, or special situations arise where they're closing lanes and moving traffic, so they have someone of authority there. Because I got to tell you, most of the people won't pay any attention and drive around barricades and go wherever they want. It's very hazardous.
So this would more likely be a full-time day only, I would presume.
Well, it'll be during construction hours, which aren't going to be just day on this project.
Oh, they would do it.
They intend to take, you know, they've been operating their concrete facility and their dirt works almost 24 hours a day.
Okay.
And so it's just going to be driven by that, and the officer will probably not work more than a six-hour shift. It's a part-time extra job. It's not going to take away from our patrol or any of our duties at all, and won't go through us. It'll just be an extra job, like working, you know, at a box store or a nightclub. Although those things might be safer. The last thing I had to mention on that was today we were contacted by Williams Brothers about water, construction water, and since we've got one good water plant and it's close to 146, I want to sell them all the water I can. So we'll be putting a construction meter on the hydrant that's at the northeast corner of West Country Club and Short Acres Boulevard. It is not the closest hydrant, but it is a hydrant that allows them to put a truck next to the hydrant where we have two lanes so that it won't block traffic. And it will keep them off of our asphalt streets. It will keep them on the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm avoiding having, for example, Bioforest to be the closest hydrants. But I have no interest in having water trucks going into a residential section there at all. So they've got enough room to turn around to service it there. And so we'll be here in the next few days, we'll be installing the construction meter. We'll sell metered water. And actually, in 2 weeks, I'd like to come back and visit with you. But on the agenda that just came up today about adopting a construction water rate. Our rates only accommodate residential, non-residential. We don't even call it commercial. And in both water and sewer. And our rates address sewer outside the city, which we have a special arrangement with Bayport Industrial. So construction water is a little different. Construction meters are expensive. And I think we ought to look at least have a discussion about a rate schedule that jives fairly on construction water.
Because we're going to have to buy a piece of equipment that we currently don't own.
Well, we do have. We do
oh,
have
do?
One. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We do have. And next item, is anything else on 146 before I move on there?
Before I go any further, I'm Neil Moyer. What leaves have been at 146 has been messed up for quite a while when there was that barricade, essentially permanent barricade in there, which basically allows people going from east towards 146. They can only make a right turn. If they were to take that barricade away and get the traffic lights squared away, that would be another way for people to leave 4 acres and be able to make a left turn and go south on 146, and would possibly relieve some of the traffic that has to be 4 acre boulevard. Now we're essentially going left, straight, or right on that signal ramp. If they were to manage the Fort Wayne intersection,
all right, we'll run that up the flagpole. There's an awful lot of Barracuda sticking out there because we'll have to deal with the city of La Porte and TxDOT and the construction. But we can.
I have seen people go around that barricade. Because there's a lot of frustration with that.
Yeah. All right.
Could you elaborate what construction water is used for?
It's used for a number of things. One is keeping dust down, but they also use it when they're working the soil, when they're working dirt, and they'll be doing concrete work. Mostly it's for watering the surface. When they put lime down, you don't want the lime blowing. You want to keep it in there when they're working on the base.
Where do they use it for water for the concrete manufacturer?
Well, that I don't know that they, well, they may have to because they've got a temporary plant, so I don't know where they're getting that water. So they may be using it for their concrete plant as well. But if we don't sell them the water, they'll go to Seabrook. And it'll take them longer, and I'd like them to work faster. So I think it's a win-win for us. So help them get the water faster and move on. I wanted to report on the fiscal audit. That's going very well. You wouldn't know it necessarily that to watch us in the office trying to do 70 things at one time, but we're moving right through the process. As you know, in that process, they give us very long lists of documents that they want to see to verify that the financial records that we have match reality. So far, knock on plastic, we've not had any misplaced files. We've been able to pull 100% and prove everything up. So that's moving along. I expect that it's been last week here. This week they're crunching the books, and then they will be back for final review of things that they need next week and sign-offs. And I'm looking at early March. We'll have the results, and that's good news. I'd like to get that behind us.
Early next month?
Yes. We're probably about 2.5-3 weeks away. Burger from having those options. And that will be the whole set of things. That'll be both funds. That'll be the compliance with the Single Audit Act for all the federal funds, and that will be the management letter as well. All right, we're rocking right along with the general election. Believe it or not, it will be in this room. Early voting will start in April, so hopefully it looks nothing like this, and we'll be voting here. We have two council positions, a mayor's position, as you know, up, and we have one candidate filed for mayor and one candidate filed for two slots for aldermen. So if we can get one more alderman, then we have a full slate. Do you want to
cancel?
Well, you know,
that's changed.
We really wouldn't be canceling. We could cancel our election. Since we have a contract to do a joint election with the LaPorte School District and the San Jacinto Junior, or the San Jacinto College District, unless all three of us have uncontested races, then we'll be here. There is a change that I want to mention to you, however. A House bill passed in the last session that says that if a race is uncontested, that it comes off the ballot. And that there is a text box put at the bottom of the ballot declaring who the winner is. So if only one person files for mayor, by example, that person's name would not appear on the ballot as someone that you could vote for. And the thought of the legislature was to avoid uncontested races from miring people from the down ballot contested positions. So they want the contested positions to all float to the top. I think the first few times it's going to cause some confusion because people are going to know someone's running and they're going to come to vote for them and they're going to say, hey, they're not on the ballot. And that's going to be true. And there's nothing I can do about it. So it's just where we're going to be. And that's all I have.
6.1, consideration approval of invoices.
Questions, let's see. Concentra, like a physical?
Yes, Concentra is a medical clinic that we contract with for some workers' job-related injuries. But the primary thing we have them do is our physical exams. We have our free employment. We have a police officer position that's being filled. Yes.
And then the repair of a radio on Harrison County?
Yeah, it's a reprogramming of the trunk system for Harrison County.
Okay. Motion to pay your bills.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. 6.2, discussion of Harrison County Homeowners Disaster Recovery Program, including the level of community participation, citizen application process, status of projects currently undertaken, and public feedback. Actually, this was your invitation, David, but...
Well, all right.
On my behalf,
of course. Of course. And, of course, also, Councilman Victor had a lot of questions, and hopefully this evening we'll get some answers. We're really doing well this evening, but we represented very well Daphne, who comes from the Community Services Division of Harris County, is the director of this particular program that deals with the housing issues, the Texas Community Development Block Grants. And I won't put any words in her mouth. I'll let her go ahead and address you, and then we can go back to any questions and issues that we have that were listed on the agenda.
Thank you for the invitation. We're pleased to come out anytime. Again, my name is Daphne O'Malley. I'm with Harrison County Social Department. I actually work for David Turpel, who's our director of our department, but I am on the Community Development and Housing Division for the Community Services Department. I have a couple of people with me that I want to introduce as well. Actually, Vanessa Brower is our Housing Program Manager. for the disaster recovery program, the housing component. Vanessa comes to us through our consultant that the county hired to run the program. But she is involved in the day-to-day on the housing, on the application of what's going over at the Housing Assistance Center. Also, I brought with me Christy Lambright, who's our Assistant Director of Planning. And his, while Christy's role is our planning director for the department, she has taken on another hat as part of ICE recovery. And she is the non-housing manager for all of the disaster recovery grants that are going on. And she has an update for you as well, because we do have some progress, albeit slow, on the non-housing side of things as well. In general, I just wanted to let you know on the housing side, we are not where we thought we would be at now. When we launched the program back in October, we thought by now we had at least 1,500 applications from homeowners throughout the county in the program. Right now we have about 648 applications. Good applications, though, for people who really need and still have a damage to their home. And so, yes, we are behind in applications. We've been doing media outreach monthly, if not every week, and going out to different communities and outreaching and trying to get the word out to homeowners and letting them know the program is there. We actually have some movement. We are hoping to be making our first awards to homeowners in April. And with that, we hope construction will start soon after that. We are in the process of selecting the contractors who will be working on the program. So we are moving very quickly. With that, I want Vanessa to go ahead and give you the details of the applications we have from Shore Acres homeowners, so you can know where that is.
Can I interrupt with a couple of questions before we move? So when did you start? When did Harris County Recovery start?
October 6th.
Okay.
Is Vanessa going to talk about the awards? When you say awards, does that mean contracts to contractors?
Awards meaning saying money. This is how much you qualify for. This is how much money we can put into reconstructing and rehabbing your home. Once that the homeowner agrees to that and signs off on, I agree with this award amount, the bid will be let and the contractor will be brought on.
Well, what about the folks who already have most of their houses rebuilt or repaired? Where do they stand?
That is being taken into consideration right now. The state is limiting on what we can do there. While we did apply for what's called a reimbursement to reimburse those homeowners who went ahead and made repairs before this program became available, they have not approved that. We are bringing that back to the state and having them reconsider that. And that's why we still want homeowners to apply to the program, even if you feel that you're fully rebuilt, because we're going to go back to the state and argue with them and say it's unfair to punish those persons who went out and didn't wait on you.
Yeah, actually, this program encourages people to procrastinate and not get their job done.
Well, unfortunately, because of the burden they put on us to wait to run the program.
And then, on the reverse side, FEMA is on people to get their houses rebuilt as soon as possible. Otherwise, they'll lose their trailer, see?
Right.
Or have to pay rent.
Pay rent.
So you all are competing the wrong way with each other. You know, you're...
That's true.
So there is... What would we do as a citizen if we already started the building? We already have a contractor. Already have maybe had the house repaired already, or two-thirds repaired. What should we do?
Unfortunately, if you already have a contractor under contract, because these are federal funds, we would have to stop work. And in order to end the program, we have to bid the remainder of the work. That is just the way the program, unfortunately, has been set up to operate from this point forward. But there's, unfortunately, I know that's a difficult situation a lot of people find themselves in, but that is the best we can do. And the reason for the stop work is there are environmental review requirements that are federal requirements that we have to document where the house is at that point in time once it's applied for federal funds. And I know this is not what you want to hear, but unfortunately these are rules that we have to play in because there are a lot of strings attached with federal funds.
Okay, let me just ask you this. Now, this I'm asking for me, but I'm asking for others.
I understand.
My house is two-thirds built. So if I stop everything right now and say, well, I need to get the tile in, the floors in, you know, the sheetrock or whatever, how long is it going to be? What's the first step? Is somebody going to come to my house and evaluate it? Or whether
first step would be, once you put an application in, you would meet with what our case manager is. That will be assigned to you to review your application and review your documents to ensure everything is in order to document the file that you're eligible for the program.
Yeah.
Once all of that is qualified, that's when an inspector or an estimator will go out to your home and do the work write-up. And then once that information is back in, we can make a determination of how much work is left to do and what the award for that remaining work could be.
And how long do you think that would take before, from the time of the evaluation until something starts, actually repair work starts?
Well, unfortunately, at this point in time, we're looking at 5 months.
5 months?
I mean, if we look at where we're at today, we opened October 6th, and we're hoping by April to be making the first award.
Yeah. Okay.
Believe me, if I could change that, we'll be in another hurricane season. I would.
The second one afterwards.
The second one following night.
I'll run the 2-3 questions all together for you because it's kind of light. It's just a cohesive answer. The first would be, who in the state, does this go back to, like, specifically a person? Because as a follow-on to Jerry, there are many in the community that took out the SBA loans to get their houses going, and so if you only have 648 people that feel like they need help and you expected to help 1,500, it does seem like you could help all 648 to whatever degree was not covered by their insurance. So I'm really very interested in who in the state that we talked to about solving this issue.
The State Department that we report to is the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. Their director is Mike Gerber. And they're the department that has set out the guidelines that we have to follow.
What was the last name?
Mike Gerber.
Mostly, and this is similar to what I think Jerry was commenting on, is at what point do you decide that, well, we're not going to get 700 more people who need a house rebuilt, so can instead pay off the $20,000 SBA loan or what have you, because certainly the SBA has gone through, at least with me and probably with everybody else, who's gotten a tremendous amount of paperwork proving that the money was outside. Your insurance was done, and that the money got put into the house. So that part of the inspection should be done.
And that is, and under this program, if you do have an SBA loan, you can still apply because the program funds go to pay that loan off first. And if there's any additional work to be done, the program can fund that as well. If there's, for some reason, still a gap left for something on your home. So actually, we're required to pay SBA off first.
So you will pay. Now, are you saying you will pay off loans then? SBA.
SBA.
Only SBA. Okay.
Is that the total amount of the original loan, or is that what's left over?
I'll have to answer that.
I was going to say maybe we ought to let the three ladies make their presentation, then we then come back to you.
I'm sure there's a lot of questions. So do you want to elaborate on SBA?
Yeah, I'm still going to be happy to do that. So Daphne had talked overarching about applications that we've received in the pipeline, and we still have funds available to associate with properties and applications countywide. In Shore Acres, we've had 65 owners who have expressed interest in the program. 52 of them have actually submitted completed applications. 43 of them are in some level of a verification process. 10 of them are in what we call a work write-up. So 10 of the 43 have completed all their verification, are now getting a cost estimate, have started their environmental review, lead-based paint risk assessments, all of those kinds of things, and actually 2 of those 10 are in the room. Tonight. So
we're processing all of those applications as expeditiously as we possibly can. Daphne, which was indicating the 5 month criteria, some folks applied last Thursday. They'll get a letter in the mail tomorrow that they're eligible to come in for their verification appointment based on the way that the pipeline is set up right now. So of the 648, we have 445 that are in some level of verification processing. Of the 445, 95% that are in the WorkRite environmental review process. So 25% are pushing forward. Environmental review will take somewhere in the neighborhood between 60 and 120 days out of that 5 month period of time. So it's not something that we can push. I'm sorry?
What this environmental review is this a deeper review?
It is.
And I guess, why is it that someone couldn't make a quantity determination, since these are individual homes, or quantity is finding the most significant impact? These are individual homes. They already had to satisfy FEMA flood issues, which is not environmental. I'm kind of curious, what is this environmental review that an individual residential situation has to go through?
I'm not the person to answer the environmental situation. That would be crazy.
These are federal funds based on the fact that they come from HUD. That is the originating organization that has passed down the funds. They, by federal law, have dictated exactly what the process is for homes, for your roads, your drainage. Everything has been given an environmental review. With these funds were then passed to the state, TDHCA. The state then has an obligation to follow those rules. What happens is, at the very beginning of the program, we did a tiering program where we said that we would be doing reconstruction and rehab of housing that was affected by Hurricane Ike. That kind of got us into the doorway. Upon each application, so each house that is put in, there is a checklist. A statutory checklist that we must go through that talks about is it in the floodplain, is it in the wetlands, is it in the coastal barrier, is it historical, because we actually, several of the houses are right